Father, we thank you that your word is alive and full of power, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God, we ask you again, do it again. Teach us, lead us, guide us, bring us into all truth. Cause us to understand your word so we can use it for every part of our lives. We thank you, Lord, that the entrance of your word brings light. We'll see things we never could have seen without that anointing upon the word. So God, we give you praise in advance for the blessing that comes because of your word in Jesus' name. Your word is a light unto our path. It's a lamp unto our feet. And we thank you, Father, for it. We give you praise, honor, and glory because we're not staying the same. We came to change. That's why we came, so that we can grow in you. We cancel the assignment of the enemy. Though he comes immediately to steal the word, he can't do so. We take authority over him today in Jesus' name. And God, I give you the glory, the praise, the thanks, and the adoration even before we get the word. This word is going into good ground to bring forth great fruit in abundance. I cancel you, Satan. Your destination is the lake of fire. You will be there forever. There is no remedy for you. I torment you with that. And I command you to leave these proceedings so that God's people can receive. In Jesus' name, I call it done. And everybody said, amen. Let's make a confession. Say, this is my Bible. I am what the word of God says that I am. I have what the word of God says that I have. I can do what the word of God says. God's word on purpose, but I'm not just a hearer. I'm also a doer of God's word. And because I am a doer and not just a hearer of the word of God, my life is blessed. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Jesus' name, I call it done. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Let's go and deal with this, because there's two key words that I want to be able to have us get a handle on. And the first word that I want to do, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 1. We're going to go there. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Are you with me? Hebrews 12 and 1, because God wants you to know you'll perform better if you think people are looking at you. I'll say it again. You'll perform better if you know that people are looking at you. You know, you remember. How many ran track in school? Anybody here? Okay, how many football? Football players, we got any football players? Oh, we got a few. Okay, how about basketball? That's most of y'all, okay? Basketball, okay. I'll even stretch it a little bit. How about baseball? Okay, we got a softball player on the front row. Anybody else? Okay. When you have people watching you, you do better. You're trying to perform and make sure that people can see you do what you do best on the field or on the court or wherever it is that you're playing. Now, we are living our lives by faith, but there are people that are watching us according to the scripture. Watch this now. Therefore, we are. Also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Take that to the King James Version. Let's look at it that way. It says in the King James, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about or surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us Let us. There's some lettuce in this scripture. Don't eat it. Especially if it's from Taco Time. Right now they got a problem. They got a recall on a lot of lettuce. It says, let us. Say, let us. Say it again. Say, let us. Say it again. Say, let us. Let us lay aside every weight. How many weights? How many weights? How many weights? How many weights? Let us lay aside how many weights? You know, and sometimes you can get used to weights. You can get to the point where you're used to walking with all those problems. Walking with all those bad habits. Walking with that stuff that you shouldn't be even having attached to you. You can get used to being able to just have problems as part of your life. Instead of going from glory to glory, you're going from situation to situation. And you're used to it. It doesn't even bug you anymore. But you got to get to the point where unless it's God arranged, you don't accept it. If God didn't bring it to you, there's no sense in you being able to come and yield yourself to it. Did you hear what I just said? And this is important because a lot of times we accept stuff we shouldn't accept. We allow things to happen that we shouldn't allow happen. Watch this now. Wherefore seeing we, say that's me, also are compassed about. I like this King James Version. I like the word compass. I don't know why. But we're compassed or we are surrounded about with so great. Now, this is not weak. And I had a challenge with this. I had to go to the Lord about this because I've heard this. I've been involved with funerals with other preachers. You remember, I grew up Baptist. So I've heard everything when it comes to funerals, okay? Baptists are famous for their funerals. And, you know, God needed another flower in his garden. So he just plucked grandma out and just took him to heaven. Well, God doesn't take, for one thing. God receives. Now, we mean well, because we don't want people feeling bad, but that cancer wasn't God. I'm going to break down some things that are going to help you. I'm looking at you again. Did you move the thing? Okay, you did move the thing. Do I need to put it in my butt? I mean, over here by my rear end? Okay, because I'm watching you now. Stretch your hands that way and pray for him. Wherefore, seeing we also witnesses, we had this challenge in the first service, are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, that's you, that's me, let us lay aside. You got to do something. This Christian thing has got to get some work out of you. I was getting out of the shower this morning, and we were out late because we just got back in town. I had to do things systematically, and the Spirit of the Lord, as I was getting ready, said to me, "Tell these people I'm tired of half stepping. God's not looking for half steppers." He's looking, and now see, y'all different than 8:30. 8:30 was like, yeah! You know, y'all slept in this morning, so that says something about you. Just kidding. But you got to get to the point where you don't like half-stepping. God's not looking for half-stepping. Were you almost there? If it wasn't for a few weights. Couple of sins. You got to get to the point where you want to live this thing mature. Where you're a mature Christian. See, you should be growing. If you're still living off the faith and level of commitment that you had 12 years ago, you're out of date. And God is not looking for half-stepping. Because there's a word in here. that has nothing to do with half-stepping. And it's talking about weights and sins. And this is where what the church is playing. I'm hearing it from pastors all over the country. And God is telling prophet after prophet, I'm sick of half-stepping. I'm tired of sin becoming a part of the believer's life. Being washed with the world, with what they live like. And putting it into their cadre of lifestyle. God's ready for some serious folk. I don't want to deal with no half-steppers. If you half-stepping, I'm not interested in being around you. Big enough man for me. Some serious commitment. Tired of weights. When are you going to get sick of faking it? Comes along with you unless they just as hot. When you to the point of satisfaction thing we're looking to play. Say, how many new cars do you need? How much money you need? When you gonna start thinking about God? Is that we're not kingdom-minded, we're earthly-minded. And we're buying off on weights. Well, that's not a sin, Pastor. But it's slowing you down. And if you keep reading this one scripture right here, it says nothing about slowing down. In fact, it says, are you number two? One, let us not walk. That's half-stepping. You may get there, but it's going to take you twice as long, and you're probably going to get sidetracked. That's half-stepping. God is not looking for half-steppers. He gave his son. Jesus is coming again soon. You got to get a hold of this. Give me another microphone. Jesus is coming again soon. Let me have this microphone. Somebody's microphone. Let me have my microphone. Okay, I can take the dropouts. I said, Jesus is coming again soon. So it's time for act like it's this afternoon. Them clouds open, those stratus clouds, we have those alto stratus or those cumulus clouds, he's gonna bust them open and you will be gone in less than a second, in a nanosecond, in the twinkling of an eye, if you're with quick. He's watching you. And there are talking about people that have a window, a viewing room. Dr. Godot, my buddy, Dr. or Apostle Fred Price's first son in the ministry. He and I was involved with ministry. He recommended me on the board of Fick Wiffham of the Fellowship of Inner City Word of Faith Ministries with Apostle Price. I was there for 20 years, 450 to 500
ministers and their churches from all over the world. We oversaw, along with Dr. Price, the 12 board members, and I was blessed to be part of that. And I thank God for the experience. I traveled the world with Apostle Price, the first black man on television, paying for an hour to be on network television throughout America, on commercial stations. And every program was paid in advance before you saw it. Watched him build. See, some of you don't know this stuff, how faith works. Watched him build the Faith Dome, 10,000 seat auditorium that God called him to build, or put him in the place to be able to build. And I remember Dr. Godot, his first son in the ministry. We went down to visit his church, and I went down there to minister one time. He had a viewing room because a lot of the Sacramento Kings started coming to their church, and the people would, instead of treating them like people, treated them like the basketball players, like celebrities. They couldn't even come to church because all the congregation members walk up to them every Sunday. Can I get your autograph? Can I get your autograph? I came to go to church. I didn't come here to try to be some star. Leave them folk alone. They just want to go to church. They're just people that have a gifting or talent and an ability. Thank God for that. But leave them alone. They couldn't even go to church. So he built a viewing room with glass windows in it to where they could go up there and have some peace and worship God without people tapping them on the shoulder. Can I have your autograph? Can I have your autograph? Can I have your autograph? But they were like those great cloud of witnesses that compass about us. I don't know who they are, but they are people that are of great faith level. Yeah. So they are serious people about God. And they are compassed about this great cloud of witnesses because we have that. That's why you should let go of those weights. Because it may be your great-grandma. It may be your mother. It may be somebody that knew you, that you knew God. This is what it's talking about. Nah, you study it out for yourself. But it says, because God is not asking, is there a great cloud of witnesses? He's saying, just like you at the track meet, there are folks that you know in the stands. So we should perform better. If for no other reason, somebody's watching us. Now, I'm looking at some of you, and I know your mama. I know your mama. And I know your mama. Your mama knew God. And she spent time in this church, for some of you, praying, believing, singing, standing by faith, stronger than we are even right now. And if there's anybody that's a witness that's watching over you, that know you, that's a great witness, that one is probably one. Now, that's not the only reason to do this, but that is an added reason. Because you're going to give an account to God. You don't have to tell God what you did. He saw you. He saw what you did. He see what you're doing. People try to hide stuff from the pastor. I've been trying to get fired. Why don't y'all fire me as your policeman? I don't want to be policing you. Well, the pastor don't know. It doesn't matter what I know. God knows everything. Yeah. You're going to give an account to him. Well, the pastor don't know about this, but the pastor don't. I think that y'all. Love God. Let's look at this because it gets. lay aside every weight and sin. The sin which doth easily beset us. You can be tripped up very easily. Now, the faster you go, the easier you can be tripped up. You're going, okay, you're taking off helicopter. You go 40 to 60 knots. Get a bird strike, not as bad. Take off on a jet. You're going to 140 before you, or 120 knots before you rotate. You hit a large bird, you're in trouble. Because the impact, you're going faster. That impact is going to hurt that aircraft, especially if the windshield gets hit with that bird. The faster you go, the more you should lay aside. You want to go faster with the Lord, you're going to have to do some inventory checking. Which weight do you just play with? Which sin do you sort of hide? Last service, God kept me on pornography. He's not doing it this service. But all of us have our own foibles, our chinks in the armor that we have to work on. You know what they are. That's why it says, let us do it yourself. This is a do-it-yourself cleanup thing. Well, when the pastor finds out, I'll stop. He may never find out. Pastor yourself. Do what the pastor would do. Act like what the pastor would act like. In fact, take it past this pastor. What would Jesus say? He's your next pastor. For some of you, you're going to die and you will see Jesus as your pastor, the next one. You will always have a pastor if you're a believer. Somebody is going to be your shepherd over your life. I'm an under shepherd, but when you die, Jesus becomes your shepherd. You will never be by yourself. He will never leave you or forsake you. I'm temporary. Thank God. Sometimes I just praise God and jump around and spin around in circles. Lord, I'm going to be done with this pretty soon. Because sometimes people can just get on your last nerve. You know how y'all are. You know, I'm a person too. I know I can get on people's nerve. But see, we don't sometimes mean to. It's just that we got the weights and the sin. Now, this is all about faith. We're learning about faith. Because you can't have faith with a bunch of weights. Write that down. I cannot have faith and a bunch of weights. If you got faith, let go of the weights. You can't have faith and weights. Now, we ain't even talking about the sin, because the sin easily besets you. Well, I'll just go with it for one time. I'll just get involved just one time. The weights end you somewhere. You get enough sin in your life, it will send you somewhere where it's hot. You're not supposed to go there. It's for Satan and his demons. I know y'all don't want to talk about that because it makes you. Been to Dallas, man, I'm telling you, both them cities, I took a picture. I should have sent it to our PowerPoint for. I took a picture, 109 degrees. And we were walking in that. 109 degrees. Now, folks from Phoenix, that's mild. But for us up here, came back and it's 72 to 71 degrees. I said, praise God. I said, everybody in Dallas and New Orleans, where it was 95 and felt like I was in a sauna, everybody in those cities ought to be saved right now, because you know what hell's going to feel like. Everybody should give their life to Jesus. You just walk down the street and say, God, come into my life. Jesus, be my Lord, be my Savior. I do not want to live like this forever. No wonder there's the Bible Belt down there, because they feel hell all the time. They feel like they're in hell. It was miserable. And I sweat easy anyhow. And I'm telling you, everything I have goes to the cleaners. I'm sending my underwear to the cleaners. Anyhow, let's see here. Let's go to the Amplified on this, because it gets interesting. Now, I'm trying to teach you concerning faith, because a lot of people don't know how to live by faith, but the Bible says the just shall live by faith. And once you get saved, that's what you're supposed to live by. So how are we going to do that? How are we going to live by faith? Uh-oh. That's my alarm. Could you get this, young man? Excuse me. Could you get that? Okay. Turn that off. I got it. Okay, it's just a reminder. I'm supposed to hear one guitar pluck, and that was supposed to be all I get. Okay, thank you. You can take that to your seat. Thank you very much. We're almost done. Now, listen. Amplified says, do we have the Amplified Classic? Can we take it there? Okay, the Classic Amplified. Okay, we'll start with this. But it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, watch this now, who by faith testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness. These people were people of faith. They're not, it's not talking about angels. It's talking about people. And it's saying the cause that be, or because we are surrounded. Not saying we could be surrounded. You are surrounded. Somebody is watching you. That's why you need to live your life right. Can you imagine that auntie that loved God with all her heart, to try to pray for you, take you to church, and you hated it? You sat there playing with, making, you know, airplanes out of the pages of your Bible. You know, paper airplanes out of the pages of your Bible. And she prayed for you, believed for you. Do you know her prayers are still working? You think you're doing this. You're not. It's the prayers of the saints. And this scripture corrected, it straightened my string about the fact that there are people perhaps that's watching you, like the viewing room at Calvary Christian Center down in Sacramento, California. These are great people. They love God. By faith, and it talked about faithfulness. Faith is important. You got to get to the point where you believe what the preacher says. Stop sitting here. This is not a scientific class where you're supposed to come here and analyze. I love science. But you're not supposed to come here and analyze the pastor and what he says. Now, you can go back home and study it, like the Berean church, to see if what Paul said was true. That's what they did. But to sit here and put doubt in it while you're wasting time. Yeah. You need to believe what you hear or stop coming. Yeah, I said that. You have to learn how to believe by faith. You have to trust somebody when it comes to this stuff, because God's not coming down here to preach to you. He sent me to preach to you. And that's why he sent you here. Because somebody need to preach to you something that's going to get you started in a better direction. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. As soon as I said it, the Spirit of the Lord said, they're repeating third grade. Some of you still ain't past third grade in the Spirit. 45 years old, trying to get the basics of math and English. What's adverb? Get it. Just believe it. I remember my wife. We both went into, she went into television productions and took television training, mainly because I did. She did a lot of things that I did. But she went into that to be able to be part of what I was doing. And so she went into television training, and I went into radio broadcasting training, and then I taught broadcasting at the college level. But I remember her going through, there was a class called the tech class in this college course that we had to take to be able to work in the industry at a larger station. And there were three levels of the license. Third class license was very simple to pass. Second class license, to get a second class broadcast license, they don't even have this anymore, but to get a second class license, it was so much technical stuff. So many technical things you had to learn about, all of these different diodes and LC circuits and all of this stuff at the time that was just state of the art. And how are you going to know? And how did this operate? How did you do this? And how do you fix that? And what, you know, where do you, capacitors and resistors and all this other stuff. And Kathy is not that, she's a writer. She's not into the technical stuff. That's not her, electronics is not her thing, but she gonna do what her husband did. She went through the class, and her instructor was a Christian man, Mr. Luckhurst. And he was the tech instructor. And the only way he could get her to understand this stuff is say, Kathy, listen, you just gotta believe it by faith that the currents move from this part to that part, to this part that causes the light to come on. And she was like, I just can't see it. She was like, use your faith. It's really happening. I know you can't see it. She was like, I can't see that. I don't understand it. See, and that's what we do when we come to church. We're trying to understand. Your brain and your head ain't big enough to hold the brains that you need to understand all the stuff about God. You have to use your faith. She passed it, though. Yeah, she passed. First class was easy, like the second class, though. After you pass, I mean, after, like third class. After she passed first, a third class, and then her second class, she got her first class license, which would allow you to work at a real television station or radio station and be in charge of all of the things that's going on. She got her first class license. Yes, FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, she wants me to tell you. And I remember when she passed that test at the federal building in downtown Seattle, she had on some go-go boots then. And she came out of that federal office jumping in those go-go boots with just wiggling. And she, I passed. She still didn't understand it, but she just believed what Mr. Luckhurst said. And I'm your Mr. Luckhurst. I just want you to believe what God says in his word, that there's a better way to do things. Even though it may be going nice for you now, it'll go better with God. I remember when they used to say, things go better with Coke, before we had cocaine. Things go better with Coke. Life goes better with God. When you put God in your life, things are going to go better. Well, Pastor, you don't know how blessed I am. You are nowhere compared to where God wants to take you. You've just been set up for the blessing. And God wants to just take what you've already learned, push you off the charts. He wants to push you so far, people will not even believe it's you anymore. Went to Costco. This happens a lot. A guy was giving out samples there. His name is Bill. My stage name in radio and television was J.J. Jackson. Don't look at me. Jesse Duplantis' stage name was worse than that. He told us what it was. Some kind of convoluted, because he didn't. He was part of the mafia. Anyhow, my broadcast name was J.J. Jackson because there was already a guy named Don Patrick on the radio station that I was working at. And I wanted to make those elephant dollars. So I said, change my name. I don't give a rip. Just make sure the check clears the bank. And so I was walking through Costco about a year ago with my wife, and we just pushing our little cart along. And this guy says, JJ! Now, I've been in ministry for 40 years almost. I ain't used that name for at least 40 years. I was 5 years out of broadcasting before I got into ministry. That's 45 years. And so this guy says, hey, JJ. And I looked. Have you ever done this before? I looked, and I looked in his face, and I was like, there's somebody in there I think I knew at one time. You know, but you just, who is it? Hey, how are you? Good to see you, whatever your name is. He said, this is Bill. He told me his last name. I said, you're kidding. Bad side. Wrong thing to say. You're kidding. You're Bill. Oh, this guy looked like, wow, man. What happened to him? He worked at Como Radio and some other stations that I worked at. He was always, I've been following you for 45 years. Well, I said, I'm pastoring now. Oh, I know that. I know where your church is. I was like, oh, okay, man, great. Good seeing you. What's your name again? It's Bill. And he told me. I said, yeah, no, yeah. But when you looked in the face, the world has beat him up so much, you can't even recognize the guy. God wants you to live a life where you give him glory. Where people look at you and say, what in the world is going on with you? See, because when you get involved with all this weight and sin, it weighs you down. It causes you to look like you're in sin. The world will kill you if you let it. Sort of like people that get involved with sickness. Sometimes it changes your looks as well as your personality. And then you get the life of God that brings back that life in you. I got some pictures of me when I went through that 6.5 years of hell. I looked older than my dad, who was 85 at the time. I was 63. That sickness, poison, had taken my life away. A year before that, I got a picture of Kathy and I standing with Dr. Betty Price in November of the previous year. 1 year later, the picture that I have, which was under that curse, with that poisoning, I don't even look like myself. God wants to give you a life where people are amazed at what goes on with you. If you'll just learn to drop the weights and the sins and pick up faith in God's word. Last word I'm going to say about it. Faith ultimately is obedience. So when we're talking about faith, we're talking about obedience to God. And you got to get to the point where the word of God is the final authority in your life. Yeah. You don't let anybody or anything get you away from the word. Yeah. See, a lot of us are not used to living that way. We're used to living as compromisers, half-steppers, people that don't, you know, I go to church, but you do what you want to do. And you can live however you want. You're going to give an account for it. Because we give an account for every idle word before the Lord. Every sin, we should strip it off. Strip it down to nothing. Go buck naked before God. You knew I was going there. You standing there with your birthday suit on spiritually, saying, God, this is all I got. If you're going to bring me back alive, you're going to have to do it some other kind of way because it ain't working with me doing it. Stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us. Some of you tied up and you don't know how you got tied up with this mess. Let us run with endurance. Say endurance. You can't have faith and not have endurance because faith takes time. Miracles can be instantaneous. But my wife asked for a miracle with her faith. That's how I got delivered. We were using faith, but who knows how long that was going to take. She got tired of it and said, God, I need a miracle now. So I'm going to believe for a miracle. And all of a sudden, something started changing in me. You know, I had never heard anybody say, use your faith for a miracle. I thought miracles were something you just could not touch. You can't touch a miracle. God is sovereign. And only God can cause a miracle to happen. A miracle. You can start believing for a miracle. You can start using your faith for a miracle. What do you think happened to Abraham? He got a miracle. That's how he got a child. And Isaac and Jacob. All of that came because of a miracle that came in his life. I'm going to close it out with this. It's cleverly entangling you. You better get smarter than your sins. Let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before us. You're not competing with me. I'm not competing with you. You're competing with yourself. And the competition is, will you be obedient? Once you're obedient, you win. Once you drop the weights and the sins, you win. God created you to be a winner. You are supposed to win every day of your life. I don't care what the enemy is trying to put on you. And it's part of it's tied to your faith attitude that you believe you receive even when you don't see it. Y'all receive something out of this today? Oh, come on, give God some praise. Now, if you're not a half-stepper, stand up. If you're not a half-stepper, okay? If you're a half-stepper, don't worry about it. I want to have some folks that's no longer half-steppers speak some things out. Come on, if you're not a half-stepper, stand up. Be bold about it. Come on now, you're going to have to get out of here. We ain't going to wheel you in that chair because they ain't got no wheels on that chair. So you need to get up if you're going to get up. If you're not a half, you're not a half stepper, you're standing up. Let's make a confession. Say, God, put the commitment in me to analyze my own weights, my own sins, and I'll give you the glory. God, today, I'm better than this. You have more for me than this. You're not ready to stop. You're ready to help me to start to a new level. Lord God, give me the ability to gather the faith, the obedience, the endurance to complete your will in my life so that I can give you the glory. Now, I want you to think about one thing, and just this is one thing we're going to do. We ain't going to deal with sin right now. We're going to deal with weight. Think of one weight that you're going to drop. One weight you're going to drop. Now we're going to make a confession about that. Say, God, today, help me to drop the weight that is in my heart. God, I'll give you the glory. I'll run faster. I'll believe more. And I'll endure much longer. Help me to drop this weight in Jesus' name. Come on now, you're a victory. You're in victory. You're not a victim. Give God some praise and thank him for that in Jesus' name. Come on, give him praise in Jesus' name. Come on, give him praise in Jesus' name. I said, give him praise in Jesus' name. I said, give him some praise in Jesus' name. You're not a victim. You are a victor in Jesus' name.